The scripture reading this morning is 1 John 4:7-21, and this is the New American Standard Bible. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. But by this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God abides in him. God abides in him, and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar, for the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. So ends the reading.
You may be seated. So as we're celebrating the Advent, obviously I think you can kind of figure out by the scripture reading, we're talking about God's love. And so I'd just like to start with prayer. God, more than anything, I pray that we would comprehend your love in a much greater way. That it would change us more and more. That there would just be a deeper love for you. That you would truly in every way be our first love. And therefore that love others. In the name of Jesus, amen. So today we're celebrating God's love for us by Jesus coming. But when I say that, it also means coming and being willing to suffer and die for our sins. You can't separate the two. If Jesus just came and went back to heaven, it would be a visitation. But it nullifies why he came. He came to set us free through what he did on the cross, that our sins could be forgiven. This is the pinnacle of, when I look at God's plan for creation, this is the pinnacle of him saying, this is my love for you. And is there any greater way God could show us his love than him coming and dying for us? I scratched my head and I'm like, nope, I can't think of anything else. And we need to be able to ponder such love. And when it comes to love, I feel like I often, most of the time, utterly fail. In 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, it describes love. And I'm going to start reading it to you. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous. Love does not brag. It is not proud. Love is not rude. It's not selfish. It does not get upset with others. Love does not count up wrongs that have been done. Love takes no pleasure in evil, but rejoices over truth. Love patiently accepts all things. It always trusts, always hopes, and always endures. Love never ends. Okay. I don't know about for you, but when I read that, I always feel convicted. And just even starting with being patient and kind. Oh, especially when I don't know about for you, but when I'm in a hurry, I become impatient and I can become unkind. Just if I'm driving and someone barges right in front of me, it's not thoughts of love. And I personally struggle that balance between Minnesota Nice and calling a spade a spade. And there's a battle within me. What does love look like? And love is not proud. Love isn't about self. And how often, sometimes when I say something, I tweak it so I look a little bit better. And there's just that constant battle of pride in my heart. Just sometimes, be honest, sometimes I think I'm better than so-and-so. And there's that constant repenting in God, please change my heart, because this is not love. When I'm exalting myself above others, there's something wrong. That is not love. For pride wants to be glorified, the self to be glorified. But true love is concerned about others and wanting to bring glory to God above all. So this week, my mom being in the hospital, they put her in hospice. I really felt that pressure that life was already full, given we're heading toward Christmas and the end of the year, and there's a lot going on. And then we added this, and I'm like, just busy, and then trying, how am I going to do this, and how am I going to do that? And I felt that impatience at times with people inside. I don't know if I showed it externally, but it was like, oh God, please help me. Please help me to love. And so there's that constant battle of crying out to God, I can't love without you. And for some reason, I don't know about for you, but when I feel pressured, those thoughts of how people have wronged me tend to come up more. And it's like, I've forgiven them. And they come up and there's like, And there's that, in love, there's not taking into account wrong. And I know for me, there have been times where people have deeply hurt me. Usually it's betrayal is my hardest one. And it honestly often takes me 2 years to where I can let go and go, okay, God bless them. But it doesn't mean it doesn't come back. That temptation to hold that grudge can come back, but I have a choice whether I'm going to grab on or not. Love says, uh-uh. Love says, I'm more concerned about them than what they did to me. And also, I often feel convicted when I turn on the news, because there's a part of me that's not broken when you see evil. I mean, turn on the news. There's a whole lot of evil. Turn on about Minnesota news and what's going on and how they try to minimize billions of dollars being gone. That is not right. But here's the thing. Love is broken for these people. Love prays for these people because they want repentance. When you read the scripture, what does God want? Repent. Turn from your evil ways. Turn to him. That should be our heart. I've struggled sometimes with other Christians Last week, I was listening to a guy. I believe he's very insincere, and he's pointing out false prophets. But I can only handle a very short point of him because he's so condemning, and he justifies his theological viewpoint. But at no point do I hear him broken. At no point does he acknowledge, without the grace of God, it could be him. I know. I mean, I don't care for some of these false prophets we have in our nation. Believe me, there's an anger that grows. I think rightly so. But with love, also, there's a brokenness of praying, God, please move in their hearts for them to repent and turn from their evil ways. Because if I'm really honest, without Jesus, it could be me. And we need to remember, it's God who saves us. It's God who keeps us. It's not me. It's not you. And with the grace that God gave us that we are saved, should we not pray for others for the same? And then there's the battle of trusting God's love for myself. When I miserably fail, which is often. And then there's that feeling in those, I rank my day according to how well I perform. So God loves me more when I'm a good boy, and loves me less when I'm not. But I miss the heart of God. If you read about the attributes of God, one attribute of God is he's immutable. He doesn't change. His character doesn't change. Therefore, his love for his people doesn't change. It's not based on performance. And yet, I struggle because often I see his love based on my performance. I pray that we will comprehend his love in a much greater way this coming year. I mean, in Ephesians it says, his love is incomprehensible. Are you ever fully going to know God's love for us? I don't even think in heaven. I think we'll be a trillion years into heaven and going, wow, I didn't see that before. And we're going to be overwhelmed. But if I had to grade myself and how well I love, I'd give myself a D or an F. And I hate saying that. And I hate saying, I have met people who do not know Jesus, who sure love better than I do. That they're patient with people. They're kind. They're very giving and caring. Just watching the nurses with my mom was like amazing. Because she had delirium. So she's hallucinating. She's paranoid. The nurses were basically demons trying to kill her. She was saying things like, wow. I even said, Mom, did Jesus say that? And she's, and how yet? They just continued to show care and patience with her. Even though I watched one who was so kind, and she said, what kind of songs do you like? And my mom said, I love Jesus Loves Me. So she sang Jesus Loves Me, and my mom got angry with her. And you can see it hurt her, but she continued to love my mom, continued to care. That's so not my mom. But they didn't know that. They didn't know what she was like before. But so what is different that God is calling us to love? Because I'm sorry, there's atheists who love better than I do. And I honestly could probably argue even you. But I would say, here's the difference. If we truly understand our love for others flows from knowing God and what he's done for us, that is what distinguishes us from a person who doesn't know Jesus. Where does that love come from? It doesn't come from self. It comes from what, from God and what he's done for us. I remember in graduate school, we watched a video, and he was called Mr. Love. And shortly into it, you know, my class, oh, he's loving well. And I was ready to throw something through the TV because it was just, it was about him. Because that love wasn't from Jesus. It was ultimately self. So with the scripture reading today, I just want to kind of go through it. Starting in verse 7 and 8 of 1 John 4, we begin with reminded that Jesus, that God, is the source of our love. It says, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another. For love comes from God. Anyone who loves as a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love." The love that God calls us to comes from him and not from selfish flesh, not from the world who loves its own, and definitely not from the devil, who is the opposite of who God is. This love that God is calling us to requires that we abide in him. You cannot love the way he's calling us to love if you don't have a relationship with him. It comes in that relationship, that intimacy with him, that changes us. It means coming before him in prayer and asking him to fill us with his love for others when our flesh doesn't want to. And it's coming before him and saying, "God, help me to love." There are many days that I say I love myself more than God. And my prayer is, "God, help me to be like David, a man after God's own heart." Was David perfect? No. But what was he noted for? He loved God. Secondly, in verses 9 and 10, "In this the love of God is made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this love, not that we have loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Like I said earlier, Jesus is the pinnacle of God showing us his love for us. And Jesus coming, walking among us, suffering and then dying for our sins, being the payment, propitiation, the payment for our sins. I don't think we get it. Because I don't think we understand the debt. I think sometimes it's like we rank our debt according to how well we perform. So if I'm a really good person, my debt's only $1,000. If I'm a really bad person, it's $1 trillion. Nope. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We have all sinned. Our debt is $1 trillion. It's unpayable. No one can pay it. But the interesting thing, only God could pay it. And he came. And he paid that debt. Because only he could pay that debt. And I pray that God would grant us again that deeper, greater revelation for what he did on the cross. And we would be overwhelmed as we understand what he did in a greater way. It would change us. I feel like I scratched the surface of understanding God's love for me, let alone for everyone. Thirdly, in verse 11, "Beloved, God so loved us, so also we ought to love one another." Simply put, as God has freely loved us, we need to freely love others. So kind of an example, because I think our love is flippant. So suppose you were dying because both your kidneys shut down. And you can't have a kidney transplant because of a medical condition. So you're dying. There is no hope for you. And then a neighbor that you hated, You hated from the first day you met him. He was this jerk in your eyes. Says, I'll give him your kidney. Do you not think your love for him would change? Wouldn't there be gratitude? A man you hated, that you treated poorly, gives you a kidney so you can live. How much greater with what God has done for us. Not only we get to live, but we get to live eternally with him in heaven. I really think that gift of love should change us. Not only with our love for God, but because God loves us. It should change the way we love others. That we would want to truly have other people know God's love for them. So fourthly, in verses 12 and 13, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. We know that we live in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. So if you look at the Bible, you do see people seeing God, but never in his glory. Never in his full glory. Moses, who said, he talked to God face to face, asked, God, I want to see you in your glory. God said, if you do that, you'll die. And so God did honor the request, but Moses had to be hidden behind a rock and God's hand shielding him, and Moses could only see him passing by, only see his back, because God's glory is so incredible that no person can live. And I would add to that, God's love for us is so incredible, we'll never comprehend. And yet, do you understand? God lives in us through the Holy Spirit. His glory lives within us. I wonder how we would love each other differently if we really understood that as we know him more, when we love him more, and when we love others more. Often I see this when I minister to other people. Because some people that I've counseled in the past are very difficult to love. They have very rough edges. But as I tell their story and as I see God begin to heal them, there's a deep love for them. You can look past their sin, you can look past the rough edges and go, and really pray for them and really love them where they're at. That isn't from me. That is from God coming through the Holy Spirit and help me to love them. And we need that. And I also think our perception of God can be very distorted, especially when they live a life of isolation. And I fear that in our culture, that we're becoming more and more isolated. Because I want to say, the more we know God, it requires us to love others. And I pray that God would give us opportunities to really love people, especially those who don't know Jesus. I think Larry, I love him how he's always helping people because he cares. And he wants them to know Jesus. We're all called to that different ways. Some of us are going to be more one-on-one. Some are going to be, but praying for those opportunities. As we have been loved, we need to love others. Fifthly, in verses 14 through 16, furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. I think of some of the great missionaries like William Carey, Adoniram Judson, Hudson Taylor, Amy Carmichael, and so many others who left everything to go to a foreign land where they knew no one and really basically laid down their life because they wanted people to know Jesus and they truly loved him. It was because they loved Jesus that they did that. And because they loved Jesus, they loved people who hated them, who treated them horribly. And often they didn't see the fruit. I mean, Adoniram Judson, for years, only seen, I think, 3 converts. After his death, it went to the millions. He didn't see the fruit. He and his wife, well, he went through 3 wives, suffered horribly. Yet he persevered because of his love for Jesus and therefore the love for the people. Sixthly, in verses 17 through 18, if we truly love others as Christ did in this world, we won't be worried about the day of judgment. A real love for others will chase away those worries. The thought of being punished is what makes us afraid. It shows we have not really learned to love. There's nothing to fear about the day of judgment when we live for Jesus. For if we live for Jesus, if I read the scriptures correctly, we're going to love others. And there's no punishment for those who put their faith in Jesus, for we are forgiven. We need to remember that no matter how much you screw up, God's love for you doesn't change. Because of what he did on the cross. Not because of what we did, but what he did. And over the past few days, again, just watching my mom dying, it's been interesting. There's been a picture in my mind. And it's her probably 20 years younger. And she's standing before me, and she is grinning from ear to ear. And you just sense there's an anticipation in her. She's going home to be with Jesus. And there is such excitement. Because she lived her life well. She loved well. Was my mom perfect? No. And in fact, the last year sometimes has been very difficult with her. But she loved Jesus. I think of one of my best friends. Imagine, you ever seen Twins with Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger? Okay, I'm Danny DeVito. He's Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's 6'4 and 300 pounds. And it's like, I feel like a little kid trying to hug him. And he used to be the gang leader for the Shotgun Crips in the area. He said, I reported to no one. I understand why when you get to know him. And he came to Christ, but he this week, he said, your mom loved me the way I was. And he teared up. Because he was still in the gang, partially. And he always got judged. And he said, she didn't judge me, she loved me. That's evidence of someone who loved well. This is what Jesus has called us to do. And then lastly, in verses 19 through 21, if someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, that person's a liar. For we don't love people we can see. If we don't love people we can see, how can we love God who we can't see? And he has given us this command. Those who love God must also love their fellow believers. Love and hate oppose each other. Love forgives and cares. While hate desires harm and payment for wrongs committed. Hate demands justice over love. And Jesus chose to follow Jesus. We need to choose to forgive others. We need to choose to love them. We need to choose to love. Some of our politicians are very difficult to love because Jesus loves them and desires that they come to repentance and know him. This is the same kind of love we're called to. I was trying to figure a good example of what does it look like for forgiving to forgive, because sometimes I feel like many Christians are confused. They got it wrong. So imagine this week you find out that a close friend of yours, you call him a dear friend or her dear friend, sexually abused one of your children 20 years ago. And it wasn't a one-time deal. And it was bad. I would say immediately there would be hate toward your friend, maybe even to the point of wanting causing harm. I think there's a point there's going to be a reaction to sin. Then what do you do for Jesus requires we forgive as we have been forgiven. Here's where I see Christians make a mistake. There's lifelong consequences to some sins. There's going to be breaking of relationship because of certain sins. But forgiveness doesn't mean you just trust that person blindly or act like nothing's wrong, like nothing happened. I've seen that over and over. That is not truly forgiving. True forgiveness. Forgiveness means you're on your knees praying that they would truly repent before God and get their lives right. Your relationship with them may end, but your love doesn't end for them. That's what God is calling us to. And I pray there would be a change, at least in my heart, I don't know about your heart, that no matter what goes on in this world, that we love that way, a love above all, that they get their lives right with Jesus. That they, it's like with my mom, I'm looking forward to her funeral because she finished well and I know where she's going. But to do a funeral where they didn't know Jesus, there is no joy. There's nothing but grief because of there's two choices we have. There's either heaven, because we believe, put our faith in Jesus, or there's hell, where we don't. Both are eternal. One, there's unimaginable happiness and joy. And the other is unimaginable suffering, because it's the absence of God. Like I've said many times, there are some politicians, I wouldn't mind them being there for 100 years. But this is eternity. I don't want anyone going there. And we need to remember that when that hate against evil, which I'm not saying is wrong, overrides our desire to see them repent and know Jesus. Because one is love and one isn't. So in conclusion, I just pray for each of us that we would know God's love in a deeper way. Because as we know that kind of love, it's going to flow through us. That it is, love isn't about self. First and foremost, it's about loving God. Secondly, it's others. That we're willing to lay down ourselves like the great missionaries. I think of can't think of it. The guy who did orphanages in England. Anyway, When he died, he barely had anything. And yet, even back then, there was millions of pounds that went through the orphanages. Counted for every penny, yet when he died, it was like a chair and a dresser and something else. Because it wasn't about him. That's the kind of love we're called to. And I pray God would bring us to that kind of love. Amen.